big backyard renovation, bringing your lifestyle to the outdoors and enjoying your surrounding, making an extension of your house with CYC Landscaping. They've been a Rosie on the House certified partner since, get this, 2007. Can you believe it's been 13 years?
Wow.
No, it's been a while. I'll do that.
And it looks like y'all are about 1 year away from your 20th anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Y'all are located new location in Mesa. Well, new, you've probably been there 5 or 7 years now.
I think five years, yeah.
Right on Mesa Drive. I haven't been there, and I don't know, it's been a little while, but I just remember from year one to about year three, y'all put a lot of improvements in that property.
We have, just trying to make it inviting for customers to come down and select materials and things like that. Our next big step is we're going to put in a showroom, but if anybody lives in Mesa, they know what Mesa Drive looks like right now. They're destroying it and remodeling it, so we can't really do it until they're done with their construction. So, but that's the next step, probably a year off, to do a nice showroom where people can come and see everything actually installed.
And how would people get a hold of y'all?
Well, website is obviously a great way, cyclandscaping.com. You can call our office, which you can find the number on our website, but it's 480-539-2597. Those are probably the two best ways.
And what is CYC?
CYC really doesn't stand for anything anymore. It's kind of a long story that goes back 20 years, but okay. At one point we our business was Complete Yard Care, where we did mostly tree trimming and maintenance and things like that, and we morphed into landscaping, and so we just abbreviated Complete Yard Care to CYC.
Okay.
And so it sounded more like landscaping, but that has been at least 15 years ago. So it, at this point, really doesn't mean anything.
CYClandscaping.com.
Yes.
All right. Very good. A truly biophilic experience. They say to learn a new word, you have to find a sentence to use it.
Let's see how often you use it after today.
Yeah, right.
And you briefly mentioned audio there, and Rosie's mentioned outdoor TVs. You know, you can live a very smart phone, biophilic landscape. I mean, you could control your irrigation on your phone. You could control your lights, outdoor lighting. I bet you could even turn on a propane outdoor fireplace with your phone.
There, you can. At this point, you can do just about anything. You know, I have an audio system that I had put in at my house. Everything's controlled with my phone. TV, audio, my lights. We use FX lighting that. You can change colors of the lights, all done through your phone. My irrigation system I can control from anywhere in the world. You know, I know there's pool systems that, again, through your phone. So at this point, you can do just about anything. And there are actually apps for igniting fire pits and fire features that are out there.
Turn on your misters with your phone. You know, I saw something. I thought, that is so silly. I would never do that. And it was a meat thermometer. You stick it in your meat, and then you can see on your phone the temperature. I'm like, that is so stinking lazy. Who would do that? You know, part of grilling is being over at working it. Well, it takes about an hour to do chores right at our house, and this is the best thing ever. So I don't have to stand over here. You know, I can put it in, do chores, clean some stalls, throw some hay, do some horse waters, and oh, you know what? I got a quick run over and flip it, or my meat temperature inside is right. This is the best invention ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually build in a lot of smokers into barbecues and things like that, just for that, for smoking meat. You know, if you're doing a brisket, I've done it where I'll put the meat thermometer in and then go do kids' activities and things like that, and you can check on the meat, make sure everything's going all right from when you're not even at home.
Pretty incredible what you can do, the limitless possibilities.
It's all great until you give your phone to a 4-year-old.
And then all of a sudden your lights are on and you can't shut them off, and you're
That's cool what you get running. For giving it to your four-year-old. Hey, can we talk a little bit about design itself?
Of course.
You know, like, it seems like every neighborhood that I drive through now with a new remodel has this rows of barrel cactus and rows, and what is that, and what are... How do you choose a design, I guess, is my big question.
Jennifer likes a little bit more of the random. We like more of a authentic landscape. But, I mean, when you see the barrel cactus lined up like soldiers, you know.
Yeah. So there is a landscape that works in. The key thing when you're looking at a design is the architecture of your yard needs to mirror the architecture of your house. And I will often run into people that are trying to force a modern, mid-century modern design into a house. It just doesn't work. You know, I mean, if you've got clay tiles and with the exposed concrete on your roof, you probably don't want straight lines and steel in your yard. So just respect the architecture of your house and let's work from there. We can still achieve everything you want to achieve, but it's going to look a lot better if it works with your home. It should look like it was all done at the same time.
Are there types of landscape that you can't accomplish here? I mean, we were talking through the kinds. There's the mid-century modern, tropical, probably not as much. Are there other ones like that that you should just kind of give up on?
You can do tropical. You just have to select the right types of palm trees and things like that. And you have to have the right sun exposure, depending on the type of plant. Shockingly, a lot of tropical plants actually will do quite well in Arizona. Unfortunately, you need to give them a lot of water for them to thrive. There are a lot of tropical plants that people have brought in from other states that don't do well. Queen palms comes to mind that everybody picks as a great tree, but it just struggles in our soil conditions and things like that. But if you select the right plants, they will thrive and do quite well. I have six different varieties of palms in my backyard, and bamboo and hibiscus and things like that. So you can achieve tropical. A lot of people ask for a Mediterranean look. You can achieve that. You're pretty unlimited because of our climate as to what you can do. You just have to have the right plant palette to achieve it.
And you need to keep maintenance in mind as well. Like if you want an English garden, yes, you can do that.
Wow.
But you're going to be living in your yard.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
And that's part of the conversation we have with you when we start. It's, you know, how much time do you want to spend maintaining your yard? Are you doing it yourself or are you hiring somebody else to do it? And those are all, you know, that initial interview we have is an hour and a half of getting to know you and your yard. And it's key.
Do you have one you like best or recommend the most, or you, because it, I mean, like, you had the best success with?
We've had success with all of them, and we've had failures with all of them. It really, back to what Mark said, it comes down to the person that's maintaining it. If we go into a yard and it looks like nobody's been in their backyard in 12 years, and they say, we want this English garden, to use what he said previously, we know that that's not going to be successful, because if they didn't take care of their yard before, they're not going to take care of their yard now. So it's a matter of knowing what they want. You know, we do a lot of desert landscapes, and we really encourage that, especially in the front yards, to be water responsible, because obviously at some point we're going to be running out of water here in the desert. Backyards, though, you know, it really comes down to what people are going to enjoy. You know, we're talking about increasing the living space and wanting to spend more time in your backyard. Not a lot of people are going to want to, you know, trip and fall into a barrel cactus in their backyard if they're out there playing with their kids, you know. So it really depends on what they want. And they can all work as long as they're willing to maintain it and they want us to, and they have us put in the proper irrigation systems and things like that. And we pick the proper plants for them.
Speaking of maintenance, can you explain to me how broadleaf can grow in landscape rock? I got a big problem with that. I mean, Is there something in landscape rock that fertilizes broadleaf or to grow like that? I mean, I got a big mess of it coming up this weekend to clear off.
No, it's just weeds only need about a quarter inch of dirt to germinate. So, you know, they'll grow just about anywhere. I was at a customer's house the other day that had weeds growing in the joints of their pavers. You know, really the best thing you can do is to do a pre-emergent weed spray that will basically make all of the seed that blows in infertile so it can't germinate. Other than that, it's just a ongoing maintenance, because with the winds and dust that we have, and then you get a little bit of rain, you're gonna get weeds growing.
And I got some work to do this week. I mean, I could make a salad for all of us and have some left with all the broadleaf that's grown in the rocks, too. Some of it's easy to pull. You just kind of move the rock a little bit because it's right there on the surface. But it seems like it weeds only in the rocks and just barely in the dirt and blusters. So.
You were talking about being water responsible. And a look that I've seen a number of projects is you have some kind of paver service, whether it's like a travertine or something to look like that, interlaid with artificial turf. That's a very clean, sharp presentation.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of that over the last couple of years. We've even done some driveways like that where they'll do concrete pads with turf joints in it. It's a really nice, clean look. Low maintenance, obviously. But yeah, it becomes very popular, especially in people that have smaller yards. They want some green, but they also want all this hardscape tied in. So they want maybe barbecues and hot tubs and pools and all these other things in their yard. But they don't want it to feel like a concrete jungle. So it gives you that opportunity by putting turf joints in there to soften the living space.
And artificial turf has come so far over the last decade.
It's amazing. And our grasses don't work well for those joints, the grasses that grow naturally here, the summer grass, the Bermuda with its runners. So that if that's a look you like, you're pretty much limited to the synthetic turf. But yeah, I mean, since we started doing this, the grasses we have now, it's like, what, three different shades of green. You got green and brown thatch in the base. The blades are varying heights. The blades are all bent now, so you don't have that big reflective surface. So it doesn't look like a, you know, plastic yard, that the tinsel look that the grass used to have. No, Chris and I both have synthetic turf in our yards.
And the other thing about it is you've got a 10-year full replacement warranty on it if it fades or anything like that, and it's prorated for 15 years. So it's something that's going to be there for a long time, and, you know, I always tell people if they're willing to warranty it for 10 years, they think it's going to be good for 20, you know.
And the improvement of drainage on the artificial turf is amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the limiting factor on drainage isn't the turf, it's the soil under the turf, you know. So yeah, you can put water. I put a slip and slide out there for my son when he was younger, and you know, that water just running for hours on end, and it never puddled on the grass. It just went straight through it.
And when we're talking about reducing maintenance, a big part of the maintenance reduction, obviously, in addition to the water savings, is maintaining your mower. I can't go out there and not have something to fix on that mower if it's more than 2 weeks' time between mowing.